We are jumping into a great new series. The last series on Elisha was all about ridiculous faith, just trying to rekindle, to rebuild that sense of faith, to remember again. We've believed it. We believe it now, but just to remember again, God can do anything. God can do anything. God is capable, and our circumstances do not dictate what God's capable of doing among us. And now we're going to focus. As God's ready to do anything, as we're ready for God to do anything, we're going to focus for this next month just on health within our own hearts, having a healthy heart so that when God does that anything impossible stuff around us, it's able to be a blessing and not destroy us. Maybe a lot of y'all heard all of the great word, great build up and energy about a $1 billion Powerball payout that was happening, and everybody begins to daydream about, wow, what would I do with $1 billion? And over again, the lottery proves to us that a blessing that's beyond what you can handle actually becomes destructive instead of constructive, that lives get destroyed when the character to handle what it is that came in, it ended up overwhelming them. And the weight of it destroyed their family, destroyed everything that they truly valued. So as God is ready to release such tremendous blessing, as God would invite you into his story, into this journey, and we want to see that your heart's ready for it not to be destructive, but for it to actually be a blessing, to be a benefit, to build you up. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to jump into the Word. So grab your Bible with me. Let's make this declaration. Let's go ahead and stand together as we make this declaration. It's right up here. Y'all join me. I want you to, you've got some ridiculous faith now, so I want to hear it expressed through your voice as we say, this is my Bible. It is God's word written to me. And I believe I am who it says I am. I believe I can do what it says I can do. And I believe I can have what it says I can have. So Holy Spirit, I welcome you here today. Please speak to my heart. Speak to my mind. Prepare me for action as you open my eyes to see wonderful things from your word. Can you say amen, church? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And as you're being seated, I want you to find the book of 3 John. 3 John in your Bible. It's a small little book right there at the very end of your Bible. If you found the book of Revelation, you went too far, okay? If you found the book of Revelation, then just turn back a few pages and you're going to find 3 John. We're going to explore just one verse out of 3 John and see if we can't discover what God wants to do within our souls. Now, this entire sermon series is actually based on a book by a pastor by the name of Judah Smith. Maybe you're familiar with him, but it's a book by that name, How's Your Soul? And it would be worth jumping on Amazon, going ahead and getting that thing on some 2-day shipping. I would encourage you to read through this book. While I was, our church, all of our staff went through this book together back in January of this year. And I expected it to be okay. I expected it to be a pretty good book. It's number one bestseller. Here we go. Wow, wow. And as I began to go through the pages of this book, I was like, wow, there's substance here. There is tremendous value here. And so I personally was blessed. And so when we were given the opportunity to come to share a few weeks with you guys, I knew the two series that I just really believed the Holy Spirit was laying on my heart. One, to build our faith through that Elisha series. And the other, to build our souls, to build us from the inside out through this series right here. So I hope that you are ready to grab hold of what God wants to do. Amen? Yes. We're going to jump in next week. Actually, next Thursday, Mindy and I, we're going to be taking off. We'll be in Israel for 12 days. This will be both of our first trip to Israel. So this is my shout out, prayer@homefront.com. Whoever y'all are, this is my email coming right now. Be in prayer for Mindy and I. We are very, very excited. It's the dream of every follower of Jesus to walk in the steps of our Savior. So we're looking forward to that. It means that Pastor Jackie's going to be back with you next week. Just a wonderful, powerful man of God. He's going to be continuing this series. And then the third week will be Dr. Morris Sheets, who is just one of my heroes of the faith, has done more in the tenure of his ministry than sometimes I could dare to dream, but just a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal man. Pastored here in the Metroplex for years as well. And then we'll be closing out the series right there around Thanksgiving with you. We'll be back in about 3 weeks to hang out with you guys. So a couple of months ago, I'm not real good with time. It was January. Is that a couple of months ago? Does that qualify? It was January. I travel with a dear friend. His name is Randy Boyd. Runs a ministry called Prepare International. And just all over the world, his focus and his purpose is leadership development for the emerging church leaders. He's raising up pastors that speak the language, that are ready to go in a worldwide church planting movement. And so I was traveling with him in Romania. We were training and teaching pastors and future church leaders. And while we were in one of our sessions, I just have this explosion in my brain. That's probably happening to some of you. Like, you're present in the room, but your mind is completely somewhere else, okay? Hey, if your mind's on your shopping list or on the football game, bring it back here right now, all right? But like, if the Holy Spirit's downloading something, that's okay. I'm not gonna interfere with the Holy Spirit, but otherwise, come on back. If you're on Amazon trying to find the book, come on back. Come on back, because we're preaching about it right now. But I was in the room, and all of a sudden, we're teaching on the supernatural power of a transformed mind, and this question hits my brain. Why don't seeds grow on the moon? Boom! Now, some of y'all, that's not as... Y'all aren't having the explosive moment that I was. But hey, hang with me. It's a slow burning fuse, all right? It's going to get there for each one of you guys. I'm sitting there and I'm like, why don't seeds grow on the moon? Whoa. You see, the moon gets the same sunlight that the earth gets, right? Same solar energy. In fact, I could take some earth dirt and some earth water up to the moon, make me a little garden plot, put some water on it, plant the seeds, and it could have so many of the necessary elements, sun, soil, water, but it's still not going to germinate. And all of y'all who learned this in third grade, you're like wondering why I was so slow to arrive. But what does the earth have that the moon doesn't have? Listen, it's an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere. Same seed, same dirt, same water, same sun, but if it lacks the atmosphere, it's not going to germinate. Now let's make this transition right here, and I don't want to lose a single person. Every Sunday we come together as the body of Christ. The Word of God is proclaimed. Why does the Word take root in some hearts, but not in others? Why does the Word of God have transformational power for a person that's sitting next to you, and yet you're sitting there numb and dull? Is it a different word that they're hearing? Is it a different sun that's shining on them? No, it's the atmosphere of their heart. Friends, I want you to hear this. God is not holding back on you. God's promises are as true for you as they are for anyone. They're as true today as they have ever been. But if things aren't taking root, maybe we need to evaluate. What's the atmosphere? What's the inner atmosphere of my heart? We call that inner atmosphere the soul. The soul. The atmosphere of our hearts, it's going to impact the seeds that God is planting in our lives. And the title of today's message is simply this. It's what's on the inside that counts. It's what is on the inside that counts. And 3 John, you should be there already, 3 John verse 2, doesn't even have chapters, just one chapter, says this, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, that you may be in good health." What's the caveat? What's the catch? "As it goes well with your soul." As it goes well with your soul. I love the way this one reads in the King James Version. It's how I memorized it so many years ago. You're probably familiar with it as well. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health." What? "Even as your soul prospers." Even as your soul prospers. One of the greatest declarations and blessings that we find in the Word of God is that as you prosper on the inside, it would be reflected on the outside. What is John telling us, friends? It's this right here, that life, you want to write this down. Man, it's about to get good. Life flows from the inside out. Life flows from the inside out. But what's been the goal of every one of our lives? What's been our intention and our ambition and our thought that if I could just fix things on the outside, then I'd be okay on the inside, right? If I can just get the right look going, then I'll have the right feel going. If I can just live in the right box, then surely everything is going to be happy in my life. Or really, if I could just drive the right box on wheels. Everybody's little boxes on wheels running up and down the highway. But if I can just get the right logo on my box, then I'm going to feel okay. And we chase it down. We chase down every exterior change that we can possibly make, running from facade to facade, wondering, why do I feel so empty on the inside? It's because life, friends, flows not from the outside in, but from the inside out. From the inside out. Here's really the main idea of this entire message. You can only be as healthy as you are on the inside. You can only be as healthy as you are on the inside. Pastor, that's not what I was really looking for today. I was looking for that encouraging word that was just going to help me. You were going to give me the magic formula and then everything. We were going to fix everybody else and then my problems. And listen, we've tried fixing everybody else. Let's start right here. Let's say, what if nobody else around me changed, but what if by the grace of God, something changed in me? What could that do to my life, to my circumstances? David recognized this truth when he wrote Psalm 103. Psalm 103, one of my favorite passages in the entire Word of God, just a summary of the Christian faith. But he starts it by saying, "Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Everything on the inside of me, bless His holy name." Everything in you, the atmosphere of your inner being, who is made to worship God, my friends. I love the way Solomon stated it. Solomon really nailed it. He said, "Above all else, if you don't do anything at all, guard your atmosphere. Guard your atmosphere. Above all else, guard your heart." Why? Because all the issues of life flow from it. It is the wellspring of life. Friends, your heart, your inner soul. I don't want to get into a technical definition today, but what we're going to call is basically the inside of you, your mind, your will, your emotions, this inner atmosphere. It is the essence of our life. So that's why we're going to explore this question. We're going to ask it, how am I doing on the inside? At least 10 times when you walked into church today, somebody came up to you, "Hey, good to see you. How you doing? How you doing? How are you? And you gave the answer that you always give. Great. Fine. Some of y'all, you grown up in church, you're like, I am blessed and highly favored. You know the formula. You know how to say it. But have you thought about it in a while? Maybe you were fine. Maybe you were blessed and highly favored, but maybe the truth is right now, pretty crappy. Thanks for asking. Just not doing well today. Friends, I understand the power of a declaration. I understand that we want to make a positive declaration, but I also know what a lie looks like as well. But I'm not okay. I'm trying to pretend like I am okay. The person that I'm lying to the most is me. Trying to convince myself that I'm something that I'm not. How you doing? Write that question down. Give it some thought today. Do you even know how you're doing on the inside? Have you allowed yourself to consider that question? Today's message, it's what's on the inside that counts, is really going to be centered around discovering the answer to two questions that will help us understand how we're doing on the inside. The first question is this: what is your soul? What is your soul? And the second is this: when is your soul at home? When is your soul truly at rest? Now, we've already tried to give just a big, broad definition. Your soul is the inner you, that inside of you. And that's about as good and an honest definition as we're going to find. We can dig into the depth of a lot of different biblical words, and we can try to find some things, but even scholars are going to disagree. But basically, it's okay to say my soul is me on the inside. Me on the inside. But in exploring what is your soul, maybe a better question would be to say, where'd that thing come from to begin with? Where'd my soul come from? What are the origins of the human soul, that each of us would have a unique inner us? Something unique about us that puts us together, that holds us together on the inside. When you discover the where of your soul, you begin to explore the what. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tells us where. Tells us where our soul came from. It says, then the Lord God, he formed the man of the dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils. This is incredible. This is the first CPR, except it wasn't the R. It wasn't a resuscitation. It was initial suscitation, just getting suscitated, not resuscitated right there. The Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nose the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Throughout the creation narrative, it's a completely different story. All of the other aspects of creation, they were spoken into existence. You remember, light, be. Boom, there was light. Land, be, and there was land. Fish, be, and there were fish and birds and animals and all of these things, they came into existence. And then he decided to make mankind. And he didn't just speak. He got down on his hands and knees. The Bible says he started playing in the dirt. He made a mud pie. God got down and made a mud pie, and then he kissed it. He kissed this mud pie and breathed into its nose, and something else came into being. Humanity became a living being. It literally translates this: he became a living soul. What is it that separates you from all of creation? It's not your intellect. Wives in the room are saying, hey man, it's not his intellect that separates him. Sometimes I think my dog's a whole lot smarter than me. My dog's got it figured out. My dog's got me trained and living the life. My son wrote a poem when he was about a freshman in high school, and the conclusion of the poem is, it was all about being jealous of his dog. But then he thought, but if everybody was a dog, who'd be the humans? You know, we've got to have humans in this world so the dogs can live the comfortable life they were meant to live, right? That was pretty much his conclusion. We exist so they can know comfort. But it's not your intellect that separates you from humanity. It's not even the capacity for language, which is a really higher level intellectual concept. It's not even the opposable thumb. That doesn't separate us from the rest of creation. That just means that we can eat tacos, right? That's all the opposable thumb means, is that we get the privilege of eating tacos and the rest of the world can't. But what is it that separates us from all of creation? It's that your soul, unlike anything else that's ever been formed, is the very breath of God. The thing that separates you, look around the world, and it's beautiful and amazing, but none of it carries the breath of God. He breathed life into us, and he's continually breathing life into us. Friends, I want you to hear this loud and clear and understand, we are literally living on borrowed breath. We are living on borrowed breath. That's why we sing the song. That's why we shout, it's your breath in my lungs, and so I pour out my praise to you. When I praise him, I'm using the breath that he gave me to glorify him. That's the ultimate pinnacle of creation, that received his breath, giving it back to him. Where did my soul come from? What is my soul? It's the very breath of God. So if that's our first question, what was our second question? So when is my soul at home? And I think that you're already figuring out where we're going with this message. When is my soul at home? Tell you what, I love home. I love the home that this girl has created for me. I was just thinking this week, how just every good thing that exists in my life or ministry is directly related to her. Where I would be apart from her, I wasn't doing real well. My dorm room, when I was single, it was a nasty place. I had it decorated with, this is going to date me a little bit, but with Gateway computer boxes. Back in the 90s, Gateway's big thing was they shipped computers in cow boxes. And I thought that was awesome. And I had cow boxes as furniture all over my room. That was about the best that I could come up with on a decorative ability, was a Gateway cow box. And she comes into my life. We're doing so much better than cow boxes, babe. Thank you. Thank you very much. She had this sign that was hanging in our house, just a simple declaration: to be happy at home is the end of all labor. To be happy at home is the end of all labor. And if you would stop and think about it, that's all you're going for. Now, so much of what we do is getting us in the opposite direction. We neglect home. We take home for granted. We push in all these different directions, but why are we doing all this stuff? So that we could be happy at home. And we find out at the end of all of our pursuits, which were trying to get us home, we lost home in the process. It's a heartbreaking trap. But simply to be at peace, to be at rest, to be loved, to be transparent, to be happy at home is the end of all labor. Tell you what, I love to travel. I love to go proclaim the word of God. I probably have had the privilege of speaking the truth of our King in over 20 countries. In that moment where what you say about the king is translated into another language is a phenomenal moment, and you realize, man, I hope I'm saying something that's worth translating here. I actually believe it's the birthright of every follower of Jesus to proclaim the goodness of God in a language and a culture that's foreign than your own. I think that every one of us should set that out there, that at some point in my life, I will have the privilege of declaring his goodness in a culture and a context different from mine. But I love to travel. I love to go and share and proclaim. But man, I love to come home. For me, it's about day 7. Day 7 of a mission trip, I turn into a sissy. I've just got to tell you. I'm like, okay, we did our business. We went, we teached, we trained, we imparted. Here we go. Let's go home. I miss my kids. I need some hugs. I miss my wife. I need some quality Texas food. All this other stuff is tearing me up. I love to come home. Friends, if God's very breath is where we came from, then when is our soul at home? It's when our breath is being used to reflect back towards that which we came from. When the breath of your body joins the breath of God in your soul as you worship, you're home. You're home. When your soul and your body come into agreement and you shout out his goodness, you're at rest. Friends, worship is not an obligation. Worship isn't a warm-up for the preaching. It's not another checklist. Did my worship, okay, brought my offering, invited two friends. Listen, this isn't what it's about. It's about coming home. Coming home to his goodness. To remember where you came from as you get where you're going. Sometimes I say things that are like so powerful, I got to say them again. It's remembering where you come from while you get where you're going. I see you. You're going places. You've got dreams. You're not there. You know that you are still on this road. You are still on a journey, and you are driven to get there. You got to remember where you come from while you're getting where it is you're going. One of the most amazing things about Homefront Church, it's my third time to hang out with you guys, and it has not failed. There's a lot of amazing things about this church family, but one of the most amazing is the worship. There is something special happening right here in this sanctuary. There are hearts that are genuine. There is talent that's being given to its right purpose. And there is beautiful worship that happens right here in this house. But listen, when we come together to worship, it's not just to be entertained. It's not just to create, you know, that felt good. Ooh, yeah, do it again. I like that. Ooh, play that one again. That was my favorite song. It's not just to come and be spectators or to be entertained. It's to be restored, to let our soul come home in that moment. Listen, as I bless the name of Jesus, guess what's happening? I'm blessing my marriage as well. Don't even have to pray for my marriage. I'm just honoring him, and suddenly my soul is coming alive and my marriage is getting stronger. As I bless the name of Jesus, I'm blessing the obstacles that are standing in my way. Man, I don't got time to be at church. There's too much I gotta do. Man, if you knew how busy this week was, and I come and I bless the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden my week begins to line out. The things that felt so pressing, I get to be the one pressing on them. They're not pressing on me anymore. As I bless the name of Jesus, I get to refresh my soul. This is how awesome God is. This is how intricately he created us, that the very thing that he asks of us to worship him is the very thing that we need for ourselves. It's like, why is God so narcissistic? Why did he make us to have to worship him? I mean, that's like really full of himself. Well, he's pretty impressed with himself as God. He kind of thinks he's doing a good job at it. But he knows. He knows where we come from. He knows that we can't add a single thing to him or to his glory. But we add so much to our lives when we encounter his glory. The very thing that we most need, he designed us for our benefit, my friends. Just want to close with a quick look at one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. You can underline that phrase in your Bible. Opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha, y'all know the story. But Martha, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Praise God for Martha's, huh? My wife always gets a little ticked off that Martha gets a bad name because she's like, hey, listen, somebody had to eat there, all right? We don't want a hungry Jesus, okay? Somebody had to make sure that the house was clean, that he was taken care of. I bless every Martha here. Homefront Church is held together because there are Marthas, men and women Marthas, who get stuff done. And let's just give a hand for every Martha in the room. Come on. What happened in the midst of getting stuff done? What'd she do? She forgot the reason that it was supposed to get done. But Martha, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And you see that they had to be, it had to happen, but it didn't have to be a distraction. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care? What a funny question. Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell her to fill out a connection card to volunteer. Tell her right now, Lord. Martha, Martha, listen to the compassion. Listen to the love in our King's words. Martha, you're worried. You're upset about many things, but few things are needed. In fact, just one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. I am not taking this moment from her. Dishes have to be done. Food has to be served. We need to maintain a servant's attitude. But do you hear the invitation of Jesus? In the midst of all of the worry, in the midst of all of the distraction, listen, there is a better choice that can be made. Jesus says this, you could choose loving me over serving me. He's a better choice. There are stalwarts in the faith in this room. You have held this church together, and we commend you. There are people who sacrifice personally to get things done, but in the midst of serving him, did you forget? Did you forget the look of his face? How's your soul? How are you on the inside today, my friends? Well, there's two things we need to know to answer that question. What is my soul? Oh, it's the breath of God. And when is my soul at home? Not when I'm scrubbing the dishes, but when I'm shouting His praise. We're going to breathe again. We're going to be a little more renewed, a little more focused in this moment. And I want the breath of your lungs to match the breath of God that is your soul. Let's experience His refreshing today before we close. Would you stand with me? Father in heaven, You do all things well. You didn't make a mistake in the way that You formed us. You didn't make a mistake in who we are, how our lives work. Father, I thank You that there's not a friend here who's here by accident. You brought them today to hear this word. There's so much that needs to be done. But may we not forget why. I love You, Jesus. I love You. I thank You for every friend in this room. May they find home in this moment.